This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison, and others for the 2023 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, June 16th and 17th in Chicago. issuesetc.org.
This Easter, from our family to yours, we wish you health, hope, joy, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding.
Happy Easter, everyone. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Of course, since that time, the Catholic universities have all become secularized. While the dogma of the Catholic Church has no sway in those institutions, the dogma of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, cannot be questioned.
The church year is just like the Apostles' Creed, stretched out over 365 days.
All of me matters to him. I can rejoice in his unbelievable love for all of me that he expressed when he died and rose. And he has saved us, rescued us, body and soul.
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
It hasn't been one law, one bad law, that made for terrible marriage and family policy in the United States. It's been a lot, maybe even more than you can count, but all of them seem to have one thing in common. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of April. We're going to be talking about putting children at the center of family policy with Katie Faust. She is founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. A little bit later, Pastor Christopher Eskett, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Disordered, Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free. We'll begin a series with him on human nature. Then Pastor Peter Bender joins us to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, to Good Shepherd Sunday. Katie Faust is founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. She's co-author of the book, also called Them Before Us, and a recent column for the Public Discourse titled Putting Children at the Center of Public Policy. Katie, welcome back.
Thanks again for having me.
How has the landscape around marriage and family changed over the last half century, and what do all of these changes seem to have in common?
Well, there's been a drastic shift in almost all areas of marriage and family, whether you're looking at culture, law, or technology. Technologically, of course, we started to interfere with marriage and family with the advent of the birth control pill, which cut the connection between sex and diapers, right? Cut the connection between sex and babies. And then we took that further when we created IVF, in vitro fertilization, where we started to make babies without sex in a laboratory. And then slowly we began to introduce the use of third-party gametes, donor egg or donor sperm, and now rent-a-womb in surrogacy. And so technologically, we have absolutely undone the connection between sex, marriage, and babies, and even between babies and their biological parents. Culturally, the sexual revolution upended the idea that sex belonged in marriage, and that children needed to be known and loved by their mother and father. Now, culturally, children have been sacrificed on the altar of adult sexual freedom and adult sexual identity. And legally, our laws have drastically changed, beginning especially with no-fault divorce, which removed the expectation of permanence from the marriage relationship, something that greatly matters to children. And then same-sex marriage advocates further eroded the norms of marriage by removing the expectation that marriage would be complementary, that it would involve both male and female. And now we're starting to see a push to remove the norm of monogamy by those that are promoting polygamous or polyamorous unions. And so we've had this massive overhaul in how we think about marriage and family over the last 60 years or so, because there's been a confluence of changes between our culture, our law, and our technology. And all of it has been a disaster for children.
Why must pro-family policy prioritize biological parents?
This is a really important issue and something that a lot of people, even on the right, will bristle at. because we understand the redemptive aspects and the necessity of adoption in a lot of broken cases. But the reality is that when you're looking at child rights and well-being, the two adults responsible for a child's existence, their own biological parents, advantage children in ways that unrelated adults do not. Primarily, they are the two adults who are statistically the most likely to ensure that children are safe and loved. Even though there are cases of abusive biological parents, the reality is that unrelated adults are statistically much less connected to, invested in, and protective of kids. And any time we step away from the married biological mother and father household, we see rates of abuse and neglect skyrocket for kids, whether that is same-sex parented homes or opposite-sex step-parented homes or cohabiting unions or polygamous homes where there's another adult living in the home, that we have so far found no other relationship between adult and child that safeguards child well-being as much as a child being raised by their own biological parents. Second, those two adults that are responsible for the child's existence grant something to children that they crave, and that is their biological identity. Children often struggle with identity issues when they grow up without a relationship with their own biological mother or father. That is true for children of abandonment. That is true for children who are adopted, and that is even true for children created through third-party reproduction. So we see an increase in identity struggles and identity crises when children are not connected to their biological parents. And third, safeguarding a child's right to be known and loved by both biological parents grants them the perfect gender balance in the home 100% of the time. And men and women offer distinct and complementary benefits to children. And those distinctions maximize child development and satisfy their longing for male love and female love, so they're less likely to seek out that kind of love in unhealthy ways. So biology is really the linchpin here, that is where the focus needs to be in conversations around marriage and family. And we see culture, law, and technology, all of these changes completely disregarding the importance of biology in the parent-child relationship.
How do we rebuild and strengthen marriage culture, keeping children and their needs and rights at the center?
Well, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to begin to look again at all of these different topics, anything that has to do with marriage and family and children and parenthood and family formation and family structure, all needs to begin with, what about the child? Look at who the child is and what they need. And then we need to reassess all of these major questions, all these technological developments, all of these legal problems through the lens of children's rights to be known and loved by their mother and father. Because the adult-centric view, which is ultimately what has been driving the cultural, legal, and technological changes, have led to an absolute destruction in the lives of children and absolutely diminished their well-being. So we need to refocus the conversation around the rights of the child.
Why is telling the stories of the child victims an effective way of changing hearts?
Well, our side, the conservatives, the Christians, the pro-family, the pro-marriage side, have always had the best research. We've always had the data. We've always had natural law. We've always had the five major religions on our side when it comes to arguing for the traditional nuclear family. And yet, we continue to suffer defeat after defeat when it comes to arguing these issues in the public square. And that is because the other side, despite the fact that they don't have natural law, that they are running up against the best research, they are running afoul of common sense, they continue to be victorious because they humanize their arguments, because they tell a better story, because they create empathy for their victims, and their victims are always adults who want their own sexual fulfillment. And so we have got to, honestly, just change our tactics. We need to lead with the stories of children who have been victimized through family redefinition, who have lost a relationship with their mother or father through no-fault divorce, or because they are raised by same-sex parents, or because they were raised in a polyamorous home environment, or because they were created through sperm or egg donation, or the child of a single mother by choice, or whatever it is. When you read their stories, you suddenly understand how critical it is for children to grow up in the home of their married biological mother and father whenever possible. And that, their stories, is what really will sway public opinion and start to chip away at the bad laws that we've passed.
So let's talk about the bad laws. What kind of those laws need to be changed?
Well, we've unfortunately got a lot of work to do on the legal front. The first thing we need to do is get very serious about rolling back no-fault divorce, which is something that very few people are willing to do. I think that we've just accepted it as a foregone conclusion that divorce is here to stay, and yet it continues to wreck the lives of children. Obviously, we had the height of no-fault divorce in the 80s and 90s. Many of those kids are so damaged and so broken by their parents' divorce. And just to be clear, we're not talking about high-conflict, abusive marriages. The majority of divorces break up low-conflict marriages, where oftentimes the kid never saw the divorce coming. And often, it's those kids who are the most wounded by divorce. It's those kids who struggle the most to form their own families and maintain their own marriages as adults. It's those kids who very often are rejecting marriage altogether because, in their eyes, hooking up or shacking up is much more low risk than a marriage where somebody can leave you for any reason and you'll never see it coming. So we've got to get serious about divorce and how divorce really kicked off this American mindset that marriage is an institution that is centered around the fulfillment of adults rather than an institution that safeguards the rights of children. We also have to take a very close look at the anti-father family courts. Very often in divorce court, everything is stacked against the dad. Sometimes the dad simply has to pay child support for a kid he never gets to see. And that is an injustice to both the father and the child. And it is leading to an increasing number of men rejecting the institution of marriage altogether. There's work to be done on the birth certificate front, especially after the passage of Obergefell that legalized gay marriage. Several states have started to adulterate children's birth certificates and treat it almost as a second marriage license, where any adult can put their name on the birth certificate if they intend to parent the child. And really, children need the birth certificate. The birth certificate is a document that exists for the rights and well-being of kids. And there is no reason for states and departments of health to roll over on that issue. Obergefell for now settled the issue of marriage licenses. It did not settle the issue of all marriage and family policy. So we need to start having a robust defense on children's fundamental right to know both of their parents on their birth certificate. And we also need to fight these bad laws that are being passed that are allowing adults to declare themselves the parent of the child, even if they are unrelated. So typically, the way we have recognized parenthood is through biology or through adoption. And those are the true proper understandings of parenthood, is the biological connection, which naturally provides a level of safety and security for kids, and adoption, where unrelated adults have to prove that they are going to love and cherish the child as if the child had been born to them. Now we have laws that are being passed that say that adults have a right to parent the child if they can assemble sperm, egg, and womb, even if they walk out of the hospital with a completely unrelated child. And that is just simply child commodification and child endangerment. So there is a lot of work to be done on the legal front when it comes to recentering the conversation around the rights of the child.
Katie Faust is our guest. She's founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. On the other side of the break, what about state-level laws that, well, could, if passed, reward biological parents for staying married and raising their own children?
Hey everyone, I'm so excited to come out to the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's going to be a blast.
Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee.
I'm going to be giving a presentation called Making the Case Against Cancel Culture, where I talk about how we write comedy and how Christians need to use art and writing and all of that wonderful stuff to fight against cancel culture, and how we have to take a bold stand for the truth using the creative talents that God has given us. It's going to be a great time, and I'm so excited to come out and see everybody, meet everybody, and talk a little bit about how we write satire and use that to communicate God's truth.
You can meet and hear Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee at the 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case, June 16th and 17th in River Forest, Illinois.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Making Disciples for Life. Across the nation, students are back in school in over 1,800 schools serving children in early childhood through high school. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in a safe, caring Christian environment taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Connect today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family at lcms.org/schools.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about putting children at the center of family policy. Katie Faust is our guest, founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. The 2023 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is your opportunity to meet and hear journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway, Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison, San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, and Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Making the Case is Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. Katie, why do we need state-level laws that will reward biological parents for not only staying married but raising their own kids?
Well, right now, what we have in the wake of Obergefell is we've got a mandate by the national government saying that it is discriminatory to make distinctions between different couples, between same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples. That if you make any kind of distinction between heterosexual and homosexual relationships, that is considered discriminatory. Now, the problem with that is that these two couplings offer very different things to children. When it comes to heterosexual couples raising kids, in a high percentage of cases, it's the child's own biological parents that are raising them. In 100% of cases of same-sex couples, the child will always have lost at least one adult to whom they have a natural right. And so when it comes to the children's rights perspective, these two couplings are very, very different. And yet our law now prohibits treating them differently, even though the heterosexual couple advantages children in ways the same-sex couple does not. And so what we need to do is get very creative in the wake of Obergefell. We need to think about fortifying the natural family in a different kind of way. And that is, we need to reward we need to maximize and incentivize and recognize the natural family, not based on the adult's relationship with one another, but based on adults' relationships to their own children, and then reward adults who are raising their children together. So this is a bit of a mindset shift, but what we need to start doing is carving out distinctions for the natural family in law, because this is ultimately how we are going to reclaim the natural family in law and perhaps overturn Obergefell someday.
How do we put children at the center of efforts to overturn other laws that either directly or indirectly undermine marriage?
Well, we have got to elevate child rights above adult desires. We have got to absolutely flip the script. when it comes to how we talk about these things, how we argue them in the court of law, how we legislate about them in terms of policy considerations. We have been so adult-focused, adult-driven, adult-obsessive when it comes to their sexual desires and needs and identities, and children have absolutely fallen by the wayside. So in all of these cases, whenever it comes to marriage and family in policy, we must center the conversation around the rights of the child, whether you're talking about birth certificates, whether you're talking about the definition of marriage, the rejection of polyamory or polygamy, the understanding that children need a mother and father and not just parents in general. It must be the child that is at the center of the conversation.
You say that abortion and reproductive technologies, like what you mentioned before, IVF and these other technologies, they're really just two sides of the same coin. What do you mean?
Well, both of them really see children as commodities. And I know that this is a bit of a reach for a lot of conservatives and Christians to think that technologies like IVF or sperm donation or egg donation or surrogacy are really just the flip side of abortion, but they are. Both of these technologies, both the technology of taking babies and the technology of making babies, in essence, view children as items to be manipulated and their rights to be disregarded based on what adults want. So the abortion industry says that if a child is unwanted, you can violate their right to life and force them out of existence. In IVF, reproductive technologies, surrogacy, big fertility, the mentality is that if a child is very wanted, you can force them into existence, even if it violates their right to their mother and father. And so both of these industries really view children as objects of fulfillment for adults rather than vulnerable people who have a right to life and a right to their mother and father, and see adults as people who should be protecting the rights of the most vulnerable, because in both of these areas, children are unable to protect their own rights.
Why should embryo freezing, that donor system you talked about, and surrogacy be banned?
Well, first of all, IVF in general does not always violate children's right to life. But we know that only about 7% of children created in a laboratory, only 7% of IVF babies will be born alive. Very often, these children will spend their life perpetually in a freezer. They will not make the grade, so they will be discarded. They will be donated to research. They won't survive the thaw. They won't survive the transfer. Sometimes they will be aborted if it looks like something may not be developing properly. If there's too many children who took or multiplied once they were in utero. I mean, this is not child-friendly technology. So there are ways to use IVF in ways that don't violate children's right to life or right to their mother and father, but those cases are very rare. Embryo freezing and surrogacy and sperm and egg donation must all be banned. They are always violations of children's rights. They always insist that children sacrifice so adults can live as they please. Surrogacy always separates children from at least their birth mother, and very often their genetic mother, and doom them to a motherless life completely in the case of single or same-sex men who use the technology. Embryo freezing is responsible for 1 million souls on ice in this country. Very often, those children never emerge from the freezer. They will die there. They will just stay in a perpetually frozen state all their tiny lives. Sperm and egg donation always separates children from a parent to whom they have a natural right. Many of these children suffer identity struggles. Many of them feel commodified and like designer products. Nobody should be using these technologies, whether you are single, married, gay, straight, fertile, or infertile. It is always asking children to sacrifice their fundamental rights so adults can live as they please.
You say that as much as culture has changed, children have not. What do you mean, Katie?
Children are what they have always been, the product of one man and one woman. Children have not changed. They still need the love of a man and a woman if they are going to thrive as children. They still derive their biological identity from only that one man and that one woman who made them. Our world has not changed to the point where you can say love makes a family, and all of a sudden, any adult that is raising the child will automatically love them and care for them and protect them the way their own biological parents have. And we have these unbending child realities of how they are made and what they need growing up. And those things haven't changed because children haven't changed. Our laws have changed. Our technology has changed. Our culture has changed. But children have not changed. And children will not change. They are what they are. And our laws, our culture, and our technology are either going to recognize who children are and what they need and protect them, or they are going to victimize children. And that is the track we are on now. The victimization of children, the disregarding of their needs, because children are not adapting and evolving with the changing culture, law, and technology. They are simply being victimized by how those aspects of American society have changed.
Katie Faust is founder and director of the children's rights organization Them Before Us, co-author of the book also called Them Before Us, and a recent column for the Public Discourse titled Putting Children at the Center of Public Policy. You'll find a link to this column and to Them Before Us at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Katie, thank you.
Thanks so much.
When we come back, it'll be part one of a series on human nature. We'll be talking with Pastor Christopher Eskett, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Disordered: Lies About Human Nature and the Truth That Sets Us Free.
Martin Luther tended to view the world through the three estates, the family, the church, and the state. The family provides the fundamental unit of society. In the church, God makes Christians, and in the state, he governs for the good of his people, his church. Well, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ affects our life in all three of these estates, and that's the topic of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness. To learn more, visit cph.org/witness or visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Register today. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through the 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky. The conference includes visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Online registration is open now with early bird pricing at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. lutheransforlife.org.
Memoria Press is a family-run publisher of classical Christian education materials for homeschools and private schools. Every page of the Memoria Press curriculum leads students to a mastery of content, an understanding of the classical heritage of the Christian West, and an appreciation of truth, goodness, and beauty. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.